I must wash in a way that honors God and earns His favor. I must conduct my professional affairs in a way that honors God and earns His favor. I must enter into charitable giving in a way that honors God and earns His favor.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
Good morning. There are truths and untruths. I will begin by telling you a truth. Each and every month, month after month, I send off a certain amount of money to Philadelphia United Life. This is true. Now, I could tell you an untruth if I were to tell you that I send that money just because I like the company so much. I mean, I think they do a good work, and I want to support them and encourage them so much as I can, so I send them some money. I could say that, but it would be untrue. The real story is that I have a life insurance policy with them, and I send them money every month in regard to that policy so that if I die in the next 10 years or so, I want them to pay a big chunk of money to my survivors. Should I survive for the next 10 years, I want them to pay a somewhat smaller but still substantial chunk of money direct to me that I may use for whatever purposes I see fit at that point in my life. And should I survive these next years and the time come and Philadelphia United Life say to me, well, you know, I'm sorry, but we're not going to give you the money. My response would not be, oh, well, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just glad to have supported your business and contributed to your cause. Keep up. No! I paid that money every month in expectation of a financial benefit to be rendered to me and mine, and I want my benefit. This is the way of the world. We give with the expectation of getting in return, with the possible exceptions of Las Vegas and Social Security. You know, it's funny, nobody in 8 o'clock service got that. There's true things and there are untrue things and there are unkind things. Probably none of the people in the 8 o'clock service got it because they all collect Social Security. That's an unkind thing, just so you don't lose. Okay, so you buy stocks hoping to get a return. Donald Trump made political contributions, hoping to get a return, says he got it. You pay an advertising company, not in the way of charitable giving, but looking for a return. This is the way of the world. It is not the way of the kingdom, though I think that sometimes we have forgotten the difference. Last week, we began our final cycle going through the gospel according to Luke for this spring and summer season. We found Jesus sitting at the table at a dinner put on by the local chief Pharisee. Jesus healed a sick man who crashed the party and used that incident as a way of pointing out something about the legalism in which the Pharisees were so constantly caught up. And then as he sat back and watched, he noticed how everybody was making a concerted effort to get to sit as close as possible to the host, the seat of honor, the place from which favors were dispensed. And Jesus said to them, you know, sitting in the seat of honor is a good way to get yourself asked to move if somebody more important actually comes in, whereas sitting in the low seats maybe contains the possibility of being asked to move up. He who humbles himself will be exalted, but he who exalts himself will be humbled. We looked about that in detail last Sunday, and then Jesus proceeded immediately to another point. The part about the high seat was addressed to the guests at the banquet. Jesus did not want the host to be left out. So having finished with the teaching about the high seat, he turns to the chief Pharisee who had invited everybody out to this big dinner. And he said, you know, if someone was to plan and throw a big shindig like, oh, I don't know, say this one, maybe he should not invite his friends and relatives, and especially not his rich neighbors, because all of those people can do things for you. Why, if you invite your friends and relatives, and especially your rich neighbors, they might make donations to your favorite charity, or perhaps to your political action committee. Or maybe they will support you in the next hot argument about what constitutes work on the Sabbath. Or maybe one of them will be able to get your kid that internship that you have had your eye on. At the very least, some of them are likely to give you an invitation to come to their house and have dinner in return for your having given them an invitation to come to your house and give dinner. So just don't invite that sort of people. And this is the point where we start scratching our heads. But getting my kid a job seems like a perfectly reasonable excuse to invite somebody over to, and what could possibly be wrong with getting a return invitation from a friend or a relative? Well, in fact, there's nothing wrong with those things. You have to remember context, and the key thing about every passage that we have looked at in this series is that Jesus is talking with or reacting to one group of people, and that is the Pharisees. You have to understand the Pharisees in order to understand the teaching, and the Pharisees had publicly conspicuously devoted themselves to living in an effort to please God, especially to earn God's favor. Now we, as longtime New Covenant people, just shrug and say, well, that's silly. You can't earn God's favor. Everybody knows that. It cannot be done. And we go on. But Pharisees were definitely not New Covenant people. They were decidedly Old Covenant people. And in the Old Covenant, earning was the word of the day. You needed to earn God's favor. And so the Pharisee concluded, I must eat in a way that honors God and earns His favor. I must wash in a way that honors God and earns His favor. I must conduct my professional affairs in a way that honors God and earns His favor. I must enter into charitable giving in a way that honors God and earns His favor. I must conduct my home life in a way that honors God and earns His favor. I have to dress with clothes that honor God and earn His favor. And I have to talk with words that honor God and earn His favor. And every single thing that I do every day must be calculated and carried off in such a way as to honor God and earn His favor. Phariseeism was a manly cult. You have to at least give it that. But earning God's favor in the way that they set out to do is a forlorn hope. Jesus would point out on another occasion that if earning God's favor is really the object of the game, you got to watch that thought life too, because if a man looks on a woman with lust, he has committed adultery with her in his heart already. And if you, in a moment of anger, should, even in the privacy of your own head, call your brother a worthless fool, you are already guilty as though you had killed your brother. And it goes deeper even than that. Our problem, at least one of our problems, is that God is pure and we are not. Oh, but God is pure and into purity. And if we are going to earn His favor, we have to be pure about it. But that's a difficulty for us. We naturally have mixed motives and short attention spans. We want this, but we also want that and that and that and that. And we get distracted by those and these and the others. And Jesus is saying to a gathering of men with such mixed motives and short attention spans, but a collective goal of living so as to earn God's favor, your motives are not pure enough. See, if we really want to please God, we have to please Him exclusively. If getting my kid a job or an internship is part of the basis for my action, then to that extent, the action is not purely about God. If I am being rewarded by friends and neighbors and relatives, then the motives for my actions are already in question. If I want to demonstrate that I am doing something only to please God, then there mustn't be anything else in the deal for me. In fact, it's better if I come out from the worldly perspective a loser for my actions. If I exert myself or apply my resources in an effort to please God and no worldly entity whatsoever rewards me for my expense and effort so that the world reckons I have gone in the hole, so much the better. Because if I go in the hole from the worldly perspective, maybe it can actually be argued that I did the thing solely to please God, which was the claim the Pharisees wanted to make. But they sought all these other rewards: acclaim, worldly respect, financial gain, clout, favors rendered. And it clouded the picture. So don't invite those rich neighbors. They can do things for you, and that will undermine what you say you're trying to accomplish. Who should you invite to your shindig? Let's go with the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. See, you need to invite to your dinner Lazarus and Tiny Tim, and that's the Dickens character, not the weirdo with the ukulele. Lazarus and Tiny Tim and Quasimodo. You invite those people because there is nothing they can do for you. And everybody knows that going in. If you're serious about pleasing God, try it this way, and you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Again, a reminder, it is a mistake to turn these short teachings of Jesus into a formula for getting what you want. That is not the point. It can be made to sound like payola. I did the prescribed things, and now God owes me. God never owes us. Never. You see, what we're trying to do with our lives, I hope, is walk with God, share His values, have fellowship with Him. That sound good to you guys? Walk with God, share His values, have fellowship with Him. That's what we're trying to do. You know what the reward for doing that is? You get to walk with God. You get to share in His values. You get to have fellowship with Him. And if you do it in this earthly life so that it carries over into eternity, you know what your eternal reward is? Walking with God. Eternally. Having fellowship with... It's not that He's using some other thing to buy your loyalty. A relationship with Him is all there is. A relationship with the God that made us and without whom we are not complete. He is His own reward to us as we come to know Him. Trust me, in heaven we will not be concerned to rip up chunks of golden pavement and store them in a vault somewhere as though that were what it was about. Nor will we be concerned to seek positions of authority, power, and influence, for we will recognize by then that God has all authority, all power, and all influence. And we will be in it to walk with Him. This is the reward that comes at the resurrection of the righteous. And one One lone Pharisee of all those present coughed up an amen. Blessed is everyone who will get into that kind of kingdom. This one man who was a Pharisee and so recognized what the Pharisees were about, heard what Jesus was saying and realized there is a different way to enter the kingdom than we've been trying. And I like this better. Blessed is the man who will eat bread in that kind of kingdom. Remember, Jesus was trying to reach the Pharisees. He got through to one, at least on this occasion. Maybe an open question whether or not he has reached us. The teaching is for us too. You have to understand the Pharisees to understand the teaching, but once you have understood it, it is for us too. We can't just shrug our shoulders and say, oh, those foolish Pharisees, I'm so glad this doesn't apply to me. Because it does. It applies to us as individuals, but even more, I believe it applies to us as the church. And remember that Jesus' point was never that it's wrong to have dinner at someone's house or to give an invitation in return for an invitation. His point was about purity in serving God. So someone once asked Jesus, what is the great commandment? And Jesus answered, and you know what he said, what is the great commandment? Love the Lord your God. With what? All your heart, soul, mind, and strength. With everything. Everything that you have and are. Love God. With all that, it's a pretty exclusive and inclusive commandment. That great one. But there has to come a point. Has to come a point. When loving God and wishing to glorify Jesus Christ is sufficient cause for any expense or exertion. There has to be this place we arrive at where we don't need to get anything else out of an effort than that it pleases God and glorifies Jesus Christ. And if there's another requirement for our motivation, then there is a problem. When we as the church feel that our actions must result in the church's bank account expanding, it isn't enough that this action would please God and glorify Jesus Christ. Our bank account as a congregation must be enhanced in the bargain. There is a problem. If it has to be that the prestige of the congregation is enhanced in the community as the result of our actions, it isn't enough that doing this would please God and glorify Jesus Christ. Our prestige in the community must be enhanced in the bargain. Then there is a problem. If it has to be that any particular segment within the congregation has to increase in clout, it isn't enough that what we propose doing would glorify Jesus Christ and please God. My preferred group has to increase in clout as a result. Then there is a problem. And I want you to note that I am not saying there is any problem with more money coming into the congregation, though I am not one for a congregation to hold money as a hedge against the future. Ask the members of the board. They have learned this about me. If you can spend money today to glorify Jesus Christ, you know what I think you ought to do with the money? Spend it. And let God watch out for the future. And there is nothing necessarily wrong with prestige, though it has its dangers. But the kind of prestige that the church needs is not the kind that the world can give and cannot be sought for its own sake. The prestige the congregation needs is handed out only by God and may or may not involve the feelings of the community or may actually make us go down in the view of the community sometimes. But if the applause of the audience of one is not enough, then there is a problem. Let us honor God. And if prestige comes from it, let us use it to honor Him more. And clout comes and goes, except with God who always has absolute clout. Let's concentrate on pleasing Him and let Him handle the clout department. I have made it my goal this year to concentrate on the difference between the world and the kingdom. I do this because I am fairly convinced that we have yet to master the distinction or even realize sometimes that there is one. But here is a reliable tool for helping to sort it out. Kingdom action is that which we would do if it cost us everything we have in the world. We would do it anyway because it pleases God and glorifies Jesus Christ. And there's a lot that I could say about this. But I will wind down, leaving it with you as a question. What could you do today that would please God and glorify Jesus Christ? And if you have an answer to that question, what possible excuse is there for you not to do that thing? What if it cost you? Big deal. Please God and glorify Jesus Christ. It may raise or lower the community's opinion of you. We're not in this to be judged by men. Please God and honor Jesus Christ. You may gain or lose worldly authority and influence. Not the point. Please God. Honor Jesus Christ. What could you do today that would have this effect? Do it with all your might. We're going to open a time of invitation. And maybe there's something you need to do publicly today that would both please God and glorify Jesus Christ. Maybe that's the case. And we'll give you the chance, Sarah, if you want to come back up. And if everyone would stand.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.